This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself? Talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now, get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
BFFT. From the PAC West Center in downtown Portland, presented by High Caliber Millwrights, here's John Canzano with the bald-faced truth.
This is a sports radio show, but we often talk about things that have nothing to do with sports, right? Because we're in the world. And part of that is sometimes I'm talking about my kids or my dogs or how frustrating it is to be at a shopping mall on December 19th or why we shouldn't be waiting to be in a shopping mall on December 19th or sometimes we talk about movies. I like to rate my movies on a 1 to 100 scale because I feel like 1 to 10 is not enough. Thumbs up, thumbs down, there's too much room in that. I've seen several movies that were produced by our next guest. His name is Chet Thomas. If you look up his IMDb, sorry. You'll find out that he is the producer of a movie that's out right now called The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. I talked about it. I rated it a 93 on my 1 to 100 scale. Above 90, that's a great movie. This is a great movie. It's a great Christmas movie. It's a great family movie. You should go see it. I not only saw it in the theater, my wife and I bought it on Amazon and sat the kids down, and the kids said, I don't want to watch a movie. I don't want to do that. They wanted to get on their iPads. I don't want to. They sat down 5 minutes into the movie. They're locked on the screen, and they stayed there for the entirety of the movie. Great movie. The best Christmas pageant ever. Chet Thomas joining us to talk about that, plus some of his other movies. How are you, man?
I'm pretty good. How are you, man? Thanks for having me on the show.
How does that sound to you when because you work so hard on getting a movie made, and I can't even begin to understand what goes into it, but then at the end, it's out there for the world to consume. What is that like for you?
I got to tell you, man, it's probably my favorite part of the filmmaking process, which really has nothing to do with filmmaking at all, because you spend years, the best Christmas I've never took this about 20 years to make. So you spend all that time, there's a lot of talent, a lot of people, a lot of creativity comes together to make the movie, and all of that effort sort of comes into this impact zone in the theater, and where people watch it, and they either love it or they hate it, right? And fortunately, everyone loves this movie, and that's when it's like the best feeling ever, just sitting in the movie theater, listening to people, laugh and cry and just respond to your movie. It's the highlight to me of the whole process. So,
and I'm not going to spoil the movie for people, but you should absolutely go see it. It's got several just absolute money moments that will move you. And that's what I'm looking for when I go to see a movie. I want to think, I want to feel, I want to be transported somewhere else for an hour and a half. But give us an idea, because, The Best Christmas Pageant Ever is a book, right? In the 70s, it's kind of this children's book.
Yeah, it's based on Barbara Robinson's book of the same title, The Best Christmas Pageant Ever. Unfortunately, she has passed on. But she, you know, it's based on a book that I'm sure thousands of people have read in school. It used to be sort of on the sort of fifth grade curricula that, you know, kids would read the book every year, you know, in school. And then it's also a play, you know, it was modified or adapted to be a play. So it's been a play for over 20 years. And so it's got quite a bit of, you know, people that are loyal to the source material. So that, I mean, that's one of the challenges of making a movie based on a book is you don't want to offend those that are fans of the book. And fortunately, we've heard from a lot of people that have read the book every Christmas to their kids that we did a pretty good adaptation. Everybody's pretty pleased.
It's a terrific movie, and I really can't stress enough to the audience, if you haven't seen it, go see it in the theater. Or if you can't get to the theater, grab it on Amazon. It's there and waiting. But, Chet, help me out with this. Like, you know, you talk about it 20 years as a process. You know, does this come as an idea 20 years ago, or do you have the rights 20 years ago, or what factors have to line up to have this turned into a movie?
Well, 20 years ago, a buddy of mine, he was actually, he directed the play, and he was like, it sold out every night. And so he went after the rights, approached Barbara Robinson, and then it took him about 10 years to convince her. That's before the 20 years that we came together. So it took him about 10 years to get the rights from her. And then once he got the rights and he partnered with us, my partner, Gerald Mullen, who produced Schindler's List and Jurassic Park, we started to try and figure out how we're going to make this movie. And we ended up setting it up at a studio, had it at a studio for about 10 years. And it was kind of going down one path. It was steering quite a bit away from the book. It was starting to become sort of a Home Alone type caper movie, and we're just like, that's just not the way this needs to go. And so fortunately we were able to get it back, and then we started to piece it together. A guy named Dallas Jenkins, who we hired to direct the movie, he's also director of The Chosen. He had been reaching out to us for about 13 years wanting to direct the movie. And when he was reaching out to us, he hadn't directed any. Well, he had directed a feature film that had come out in the theaters and didn't do well at all. And so we kind of, you know, we were nice, but we're like, we just don't think it's right. And so he just kept, he was persistent for about 13 years. And finally, with, you know, The Chosen becoming popular, it was about season 3. We kind of said, you know what? He's the right director now. And so we partnered with him, and so it's a process. I mean, every time you make a movie, it's a miracle that it ever makes it to the theater. And then it's another miracle that it's good. And then it's another miracle that people actually go see it. So I just really appreciate everyone that's gone to see it, all the nice things that everybody's said. And people like you talking about it is what has made it a huge success. It's gone above and beyond what anybody thought it was going to be. And it's, because of that, we're still in theaters today and through Christmas. We're still on like 1,500 screens, which is kind of unheard of. We opened on November 8th. So it's still in the theaters going strong, and now we're getting, you know, they kind of narrowed us down to all the small theaters. Now we're getting all the big theaters back because Christmas is coming, and they're filling up and selling out. So, and you know, and you can also get it on Amazon too, but the theaters where to see, the place to see it.
Miracle on 34th Street, It's a Wonderful Life, Christmas Story. I feel like this film belongs in that category, in that it could have a life beyond, you know, being on the big screen this year. Does that cross your mind when you're making it, or can you afford to think in those kinds of terms?
Well, you would always hope that would be the outcome, right? You want to become... You want to create something that's going to become a classic. And so, I mean, that's what we were hoping for. That's what we were striving for. And that's why it took us so long to get it made right. And I don't know. It feels like, I mean, I'll let you be the judge, but it feels like to me that we're on the trajectory to be a classic and be around every Christmas. And, you know, most of the people that I talked to, you know, they went and saw the movie. And then they, you know, somebody went and saw the movie. Then they go back and they bring their grandkids.
Yeah.
And then they brought their neighbors. And to me, that's just a bit of a telltale sign that it could be in the run. I don't want to jinx it, and I don't want to be, you know, I want to be humble. But it could be, we're hoping it's on the trajectory of being a classic with all those, you know, Elf and the Christmas Story and Home Alone and those that everybody watches every Christmas.
Chet Thomas is with us, producer, director, writer. He is the producer of the best Christmas pageant ever. It's in theaters now. You know, you start at BYU as a student. And by the way, we could talk a little football, BYU football. Did you get sucked into any of that this year? I mean, I know you're a Kansas City guy.
I am a Kansas City guy, and I've been a Kansas City guy from the very beginning. But, yeah, I did get sucked into it when we were, you know, when we were undefeated. It was a great season, and, you know, the last one, we're a little disappointing, but we beat Utah, so we were happy with that.
Do you remember being in school there? Was the football team good when you were in college there?
It was good. Ty Detmer was quarterback.
Yeah.
So we were in a height. Yeah.
There you go. Well, you get in. When did you know you wanted to do this? And, you know, are you a kid who's making movies, putting on plays, or how do you find this world that you now exist in?
You know, when I was in Kansas City, I lived in a small town called Olathe. And we had one of the first multiplexes that came in. It was like, I think it was an 8 or 12 theater. And I got a job as a projectionist in high school. And I just absolutely loved it. Watching movies through this little box up in the booth. And I just have always had this passion for movies. And went to school, decided to study film in school, and then set my sights on... You know, when I was about to graduate, the Time magazine came out where it was Spielberg, Katzenberg, and Geffen forming new studio called DreamWorks SVG. And I kind of being dumb and, you know, a student said, that's where I want to go. And so I kind of blindly left and went to Los Angeles to get a job. So
you've been a part, obviously, of a bunch of feature films that have been successful, and I'm happy to say the best Christmas pageant ever is not your only movie that I've seen. I watched on a plane a couple of years ago. I watched Waterman in it, and for people who don't know, Duke Kahanamoku. I hope I got that right. The Duke, as people know him, the father of modern surfing. I happened to catch it on an airplane, and I was riveted by it, and so when I was looking up your credits, I was like, oh wow, like he did this one too. Can you speak a little bit about that movie? Why did that speak to you, and why did you want to make that film?
You know, I've always had a big heart for Polynesian culture, right? And came across this story of Duke Kahanamoku, and I was just, this guy is a legend. And, you know, if you haven't seen the movie, it's on Amazon. You got to watch it. Or Fly to Hawaii. You can see it. It's probably where you saw it. It's one of America's greatest legends that's unknown and almost has been forgotten. I mean, this guy has 4 statues of himself on 4 different continents for the barriers that he broke. As you know, when times were really racial and really just hard for, you know, people of color to kind of break through, and there was just something about him, and he had so much aloha spirit about him, love, that everyone loved him. And so the movie just dives into all his accomplishments of, you know, being an Olympic swimmer and actor and then becoming the father of modern surfing and taking surfing around the world. It's just an American hero that was being forgotten. And I felt like it was a story that needed to be told. And so that was really my motivation behind it, with me and the director. Just it's a story that we need to get out there and to make sure he's not forgotten. He should be remembered with the great, like Muhammad Ali and Jackie Robinson. I mean, this guy was awesome.
Yeah, it reminded me of the Jackie Robinson story because, or Jesse Owens, yeah, right, with the Olympics, because there's this great couple of scenes in the movie where the Duke is trying to qualify for the United States Olympic swim team, 1912, I think it was, in Stockholm. He goes on to win a gold medal, but it's almost like, you know, they time him at this record pace in 100, in the 100 free, but no one thinks the pool, like they think it has to be, this can't be right. It was like, and I think he was maybe timed in, was he timed in the ocean or in the salt water or in the harbor or something like that?
It was in the harbor, yeah, in the Honolulu harbor. And he was so far under the world record that they just didn't, they claimed that they didn't know how to use a stopwatch. And it's like, look, it's crazy. Yeah, he was such an athlete.
There are just undertones there of, you know, wins a gold and a silver in 1912. He comes back and, you know, in the 1924 Olympics and the 1920 Olympics, he wins gold, two golds, and just a phenomenal story. And here's the thing, like, I'm a sports writer, and I didn't know that he was an Olympic swimmer. I thought he was just a surfer.
Right, yeah. Dude, he's an Olympic gold medalist. I mean, what he accomplished was just amazing. They literally pulled him out of the ocean. Hey, come swim, and he gets first place and beats the world record by seconds. You know, this is insane.
Chet Thomas is with us. All right, the movie's out. The best Christmas pageant ever. I really want our audience to go see it. Do you go? Like, I know you go to the premiere and everything, but do you ever slip into the theater and just watch it with a regular crowd?
Ah, dude, that is my favorite part. I think I've seen the film. I kind of stopped counting at 40, but I've probably snuck in. Like, everybody thinks I'm crazy because I'll go up to just a random theater, and I will go to the ticket booth. The guy that's, you know, taking tickets, he looks at me and I says, "Hey, I'm the producer of the best Christmas pageant ever. I'm just going to go check on my movie." And they just like, "Okay, go on through." So I just walk through, go in, and, you know, I don't know. People think probably I'm crazy, but I'll right before the credits are, you know, not the credits, but right before as the previews are sort of wrapping down and the film's about to start, I'll interrupt and tell everybody. I'm so appreciative. I'm like, thank you, everybody, for coming out. I'm one of the producers on the film, and I just appreciate you coming out.
Oh, that's great.
Our movie.
I love that.
And then a lot of times I'll stick around afterwards and just hang out and chat with them. And I love hearing what people think about the movie, and it's just been so rewarding. So I'll probably hit 50 before this movie's out of the theaters.
Well, I love that you do that. I love that you're sharing this movie with people, and I hope our audience goes and sees it. And shout out to your cousin, Justin, who was listening to the show, and I brought it up a couple times, and Justin reached out and said, "Hey, you know, my cousin is the producer," and I was like, let's get him on the show. So shout out to your family here in the Pacific Northwest.
I love it. Yeah, thank you, Justin. It's been great. And thank you to you. Like, the reason this message is getting out, which really has the true meaning of Christmas in it, is because of you and people like you that are just going to the movies and talking about it. And, you know, otherwise we can't compete against, you know, somebody, a movie that's putting out, you know, $200 million in advertising. It's just, you know, we're a small movie, but this movie has broken through the ceiling because of your listeners, you, and everyone that's been talking about it. So thank you so much for supporting us, our creative efforts, and this movie. And, you know, we want to wish everybody a Merry Christmas, and hopefully we can all have, you know, be looking out for those that are being forgotten, which is really the story of the best Christmas pageant ever. So thank you.
Well put. Merry Christmas, Chet Thomas. Thank you.
Thank you. Merry Christmas, y'all.
All right. For people who don't know, the best Christmas pageant ever, go see it. Bring your kids. Steven, take the whole family. Everyone will love it. It's got such a strong positive message. The first time I saw it, I literally walked out of the theater, and it's one of those moments where we all know what Christmas is supposed to be about, but you know what it turns into. It turns into looking for a spot to park at the shopping mall and making sure that you have everybody on your list crossed off and running out and trying to create those joyful moments that Target and Macy's and Amazon show you when they're marketing to you and trying to get you to buy and buy and buy. And yet you get hit over the head with a message like the one in the best Christmas pageant ever, which really is focused on remembering the people out there among us that maybe are having a more difficult time this Christmas season. And I'll tell you what was born from it in our own family. Not only did we take our kids, you know, and make them watch the movie, and literally it was them saying, you know, I don't want to watch a Christmas movie, and me putting the movie on and going, sit down. And 10 minutes later, they're just locked onto the screen. But it sparked a discussion in our family after the movie was over. And I've talked about this, and maybe, you know, there's still time for you to do this if your family wants to help someone else out there. We reached out to the school. Anna reached out to the elementary school where our kids go and said to the administrators there, hey, is there a family in the community that needs some extra help this Christmas? And they were like, yeah, there in fact is a couple of families here. And they made contact with a family, and they sort of got a wish list for their kids and their family for Christmas. And last Saturday, we went out, and I told the kids as we were leaving to go out and go to Costco and go to Target and go out shopping for this other family. I said, yeah, this is not about us today. This is about helping another family. And I can tell you, you know, on the shopping list that this other family had, it was stuff like toothpaste and dental floss and a jacket and a pair of pants for their son. And they've got a new baby coming and they need diapers. And we went down that list, and I can tell you, like, it was so joyful to watch my children sort of grasp a little bit of the spirit of what Christmas is about and think about somebody other than themselves, for crying out loud. We're all so damn selfish. And so it really was just a wonderful opportunity for everybody in our family to, you know, to feel good about doing something anonymously, like, right, you know. And so you know, the girls dropped everything off at the front office of the school, and the school got it to the family. And you know, maybe there's a family out there in your neighborhood, or at your kid's school, there's a family. Or maybe reach out to your church or the church in your neighborhood and say, hey, I'd really like to do something to help a family out there. And that can be something you do directly with that entity that makes a difference. And I'm telling you, it's the spirit of this movie that really fueled it. I remember walking out of the theater going, oh, that's what Christmas is about. Leave it here. You got the BFT.
How do you feel when you switch to GEICO and save on your car insurance? It's like getting right out of bed late for work, yet your hair looks immaculate. No blow dryer, no comb, no sculpting gel. Just a flawless look. As if you walked out of your house and straight onto the cover of a men's fashion magazine.
Good morning, Steven. Oh, have you done something new with your hair? It looks amazing.
They don't have the slightest clue you were half asleep drooling on your pillow not 10 minutes ago. Yep, switching and saving with GEICO feels just like that. Get more with GEICO.